All right, before we get into today's episode, if you own a home improvement business, listen closely. You didn't start your company to grind 60 hours a week, chasing leads, stressing over jobs, and barely making money. You started it to win, to build freedom, wealth, and a business that actually works for you. That's exactly what Accelerate Live is all about. On February 10th and 11th, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Accelerate Live in Clearwater Beach, Florida, and it's going to be our biggest and, dare I say, best event ever. Two full days of real strategies, powerful workshops, and game-changing conversations with the smartest contractors in the country. This isn't theory, it's what's working right now in lead generation, sales, production, hiring, and profitability. Everything you need to grow faster and smarter in 2026. And let me be clear, listening to this podcast is great, but being at Accelerate Live is where the breakthroughs actually happen. Every year, people leave this event with excitement, a clear plan, new connections, and the confidence to take their business to the next level. But here's the deal. We always sell out. Early bird pricing is available right now. And if you're serious about blowing 2026 out of the water, bring your leadership team. Not only do we have a special breakout session just for them, we've got special discounted pricing as well. Trust me, the more aligned you are, the faster things change. Go to accelerateevent.com, grab your tickets, and use promo code podcast26. Do it now. accelerateevent.com, promo code podcast26. Now let's get into today's episode.
When I started having kids, I didn't want to be working 60, 70 hours a week like I was. So a couple of years ago, I moved to a three-day work week. Really what that did is help me make my business even better, because now I really got to have systems and I got to have leadership in place where the business can operate without me. For the last 2 years, I was on a one-day work week. I just came in one day. That forced me to get a better business because I'm not there to do the day-to-day.
Here's the thing, though. You built a business that serves your life. Everybody listening, make no mistake, that is the only reason your business exists, is to serve your life. Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and I'm here today with Chris Carey from Windows Direct and Baths Direct. Chris, good to see you.
Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here and have a good conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. So give everybody we always start off the same way. Give everybody your 2-minute, 3-minute backstory. How'd you get into this business? And where are you at today?
It's interesting. I've never really done anything else other than home improvements. My dad had a small home improvement company growing up, started working on the job site when I was probably 13 or 14 during the summers and even on weekends. So kind of got in it that way. And when I moved and went off to college, I did a few other things. But after college, I ended up actually taking a job at one of the largest home improvement companies in the country as an installer. So I installed for a while.
Interesting.
Always wanted to be in sales. I went to college, didn't want to go to college to be a window installer, right? Or a siding installer. So it's like, let me sell. And, like a lot of business owners, they blew me off. They didn't think I was, an installer turning into sales wouldn't be successful, or just didn't, they didn't think it would fit, right? So they were going to open up another location in Cincinnati. Never in my life been to Cincinnati, but it was an opportunity. And it's like, man, when you're young, you just want someone to give you an opportunity. And I'm like, hey, we're going to open this up. If you want to be the first sales rep, couple weeks later, I was up here staying in a weekly stay, starting sales. So I took that chance and never looked back, really. I was there for about 6 years before it was time for me to, you know, do my own thing. So, and here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. So tell me about Windows Direct and Bath Direct. You're out of Cincinnati. You didn't leave.
Yep. Didn't leave. Thought about it, but ended up starting in Cincinnati in 2014, you know, and the first year in business, you know, did about $1 million in revenue. I think I made like $4,000. Like it was, we were doing stuff, but, you know, there wasn't much left at the end. And,
you made one classic mistake. You didn't pay yourself sales commissions.
I did not pay myself. I mean, I did the install for the first, you know, 30, 60 days.
Wow.
I did sales for, I never paid myself a dime. It was like, because I started with $6,400. So it's like, that's,
yeah,
that's nothing, you know? So right. It's like every dollar I would make from a job, I had to leave it in the business account because, you know, otherwise we wouldn't have survived, you know? So. Just had to steamroll that profit and reinvest it. And at the end of the year, there was nothing left. But, you know, right after that, 2015 was a pretty big year for us. It's like, you know, we went from 1 million the first year to, year two, we did 3 million.
Wow.
And, you know, there was a nice chunk left over at the end. So yeah, we just kept growing ever since. Here we are 10 years later. In 2018, I started the bath business. And, you know, it's been going well as well. So, we'll do about 18 million this year in sales and, it's been good. So
between the two.
Yeah. We'll do
good for you.
Do 11 million in windows, 11, a little over 11 and, 6.5 fish in bass. So
nice. Good for you, man. And super profitable.
Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, some years better than others, you know, we're not, I mean, like I said, I come to your events all the time and, you know, that's great motivation. You see people on stage making 20%. One of my mentors very early on, I mean, he helped change my business, Bob Quillen, which, you know, spoke at your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's obviously he had a great business. You know, we're not 20% profit, but, you know, we're working to get there. So
good. No, as long as you're in that ideal range, it's good. Okay, so, and you've got two locations. You've got Cincinnati and you've got Louisville.
Yeah, we started the Louisville office 2018.
Is that where you're originally from?
I'm from about an hour south from there in a little small town. So it was just made sense to try to, you know, get back home, I guess. You know, I know a lot of people there. It's like, man, I got a pretty good network where I can, you know, lean on for employees or even customers. And so that was the reasoning for going back to Louisville. And that location has been great for us. I mean, it's, you know, the satellite offices can be very, very profitable because it doesn't require a whole lot of, or you don't need a bunch of employees there, you know? So it's like, right, you just lean on the resources from one location to support the satellite. So that second location has been great.
So you're running your call center from Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati, we got a pretty good site. We got 29,000 square foot building they actually just purchased this year. And
nice, congratulations.
Yeah, so super exciting. But we have a 14 person call center in Cincinnati. All my customer support, back end support, everything's run out of Cincinnati. The Louisville location literally just houses the sales reps. We have a little small showroom and my production team that's local there. So
yeah, wonderful, man. So how did you, you know, it's interesting that you come from both sides of the business. You come from the install side and the sales side. Usually it's one or the other. What made you good at sales?
You know, actually, I think I probably generally don't have a good personality for sales. Like I'm more of an introvert. Like I really am. Like,
yeah.
But it's funny when I get into the house with a customer, it's like showtime for me. Like my personality in the house is completely opposite of what I am naturally. So I think it's just, like I said, I know it's time to, well, for one, when you start a business, like you got to get good at it or you're not going to, I mean, sales drives everything. You can be the best installer in the world, but if you can't sell the project, you don't have nothing to install. So you have to adapt. But it's funny because I was about $3.5 million before I really started networking with other people in the industry, I met Bob in a Facebook group and went and visited his shop. And he's like, well, what kind of sales system do you use? And I'm like, what's a sales system?
Yeah.
Because the company I worked for before, it was, you know, low price. Go stand on the window, blowtorch it, and give them a low price, and you sold. And it's easy because you're cheap, you know? And that's that first year we didn't really make much money, is because it's like, that's the model I knew. So it's like, I'm trying to do that model. And it's like, there's just nothing at the end.
Yeah, low prices, you know, will kill you in this business.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to price a job in this business.
So I met Bob and went to visit his place for a week. I brought two new sales reps that I hired. We went up there for a week sales training. He taught me a 10-step sales system. That was the first experience I had with any kind of like structured sales system. And he's like, dude, you got to raise your prices. So we learned the sales system. We went back, raised our price 30%. And the very next day, like instantly, and half my salespeople were freaking out. They're like, we're going to go out of business. We can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And I ran the very first appointment, ended up selling a job for $15K that we would have been $10K yesterday. And I just brought the contract back. I'm like, look, here it is. This is what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I'm going to point something out to the listener right now. So what he had to do was one of the hardest things you will do in your business. But once you do it, it'll change your life. Because if you don't have a step selling system in this business, it's going to be very difficult for you to sell value, not price. We've talked about that this here 100 times. And, you know, the big players all know this. So they're not hearing anything new. But it's for those listeners that are still stuck, because once you get to that million five, you're the one that's, as the owner, you're the one going and selling all of that stuff. And, you know, you can't scale that. You'll be stuck there because you have two full-time jobs. You have one job going and selling, running leads, and then you've got another job trying to manage this business and grow a business. The only way you grow is by installing a sales system that you can now go and teach other people how to do. Then you got to raise your prices so that you can afford all of this stuff, because now you got to go market. Now you've got overhead, and now you got to go be a leader. And what'll happen too is what Chris said, your salespeople will revolt, because they will not, because for them, it's about price, price, price. It's not about the price with the consumer. It's about the price in their heads. And if you let them win, you're done before you even gotten started. And so everybody I know that's gone past that has had that attitude that Chris had, was that, look, and I like that you went and sold the first deal. It's kind of like the movie, the Top Gun movie, the new one, the Maverick movie. Everybody's saying, oh, that's impossible. Impossible. We can't do it. And he had to go and show him, well, wait a minute, it can be done. And so that's what you did. You went, you showed him, yeah, it can be done. So I just wanted to make that point to the listener, to anybody that might be stuck, wherever you are in your business. If you're stuck, and you need a selling system, a good one, and then you need to raise your prices.
Raise your prices. Yeah, I mean, we were, like I said, that first couple of years, we probably had about a 40% gross margin, and that was before paying salespeople. Like, there was nothing, like I said, it was, but I didn't know any better, you know?
I was
making my price based on what
the other company was charging.
Versus what we needed to be to have a good business. And now we're, you know, before or after sales reps and after financing fees, credit card fees, we're a little, just over 60% gross margin. So, like I said, the good thing about, or the necessary thing about a sales system is, it's easy to train. Like you can't train if you don't have something to train by, unless you're just, this person's going to be doing this thing, this sales rep's going to be doing it another way. And then what it does is it really ties whoever's doing the training down. Like you got to spend all this time like going over each individual thing, spending a full 2 weeks, like every minute trying to train someone, versus if you have a system, You can have training documents or training modules to where it doesn't take every single second of the trainer's time. So,
yeah. Also, that's how you create consistency. That's how you create predictability. And that's how you run your business by numbers. So, you know, okay, I had a class of salespeople. I put them out in the field. Here's the NSLI that came back, the close rates that came back. Here's my benchmark. Here's where I need to be. And if I'm not there, either they got to come back. They don't get more leads. They got to come back and retrain, or, and if they don't perform, then sorry, but this isn't working out for you. It's shocking how many people don't have those numbers. Well, they have the numbers, but they don't hold the team accountable. They'll keep giving leads to a low performer. Well, I got to keep him busy. No, you don't. Who said that? Who put that idea in your head? You got a business to run. It's not about him. It's about the whole business. So just because you're trying to appease one person, now you're hurting everybody else in the organization because you have a low performer on your sales team.
And, you know, that's a difficult thing for small businesses because a lot of times the owner is the one that's managing that team, and they might bring in their cousin or their brother-in-law. So it's like, you got your brother-in-law, which, I mean, I don't have my dad works for me actually. And thankfully, it's funny because I worked for him growing up. Now he works for me and he's in sales, but thankfully he's one of our best closers. So it's like,
yeah, good.
I don't want to fire him. Conversation, you know, so.
It's funny you say that because the other day we're kind of working on our Success Society platform for next year. And one of the things that we're going to include in there is how to fire employees.
Yeah, it's tough.
How to fire employees. It's hard. I hate it. I didn't have to do it for years. It was awesome. I didn't have to fire anybody for years. I had to do it a few months ago. I had to fire somebody. Oh, it was painful. It's so hard, and I had to psych myself up for it. I felt so bad about it, but it had to be done.
It's better for them too, because if they're not successful here, give them the opportunity to be successful somewhere else. So it's just, if we keep them too long, we're holding them down as well.
What are some of the things that you've done in your business? I mean, 18 million from a few million, around 18. So in 6-7 years, you've gone from, you know, making a living to, you know, on your way to wealth, real wealth.
You know, business has done well. Every year we've increased revenue and profit. I mean, I think there was one year where my profit was less than what it was the previous year. And that was right after COVID. We couldn't get anything installed to save our life. You know, it's funny because, you know, in our sales training module that we use, you know, I have the trajectory of the company, and you can see the growth each year, and I can visually see where we implemented certain things. Like, I can visually see when we implemented a sales system because we're here, here, and then we went to here.
Yeah.
And I can visually see, you know, around that, I think $11 million mark. We're 11-ish million for 2 years in a row, which, I mean, we've grown 30% basically every year. But I can see where, you know, we didn't grow because we wanted to fix things. Like, we're just growing. Don't have a clue what I'm doing. Like, I don't have really a whole lot of people to lean on. Didn't really go to any industry events. I just, you know, was winging it the whole time. But you can see the levels of jumps whenever we started creating systems and putting leadership in place. So just trying to empower our people to make decisions and be a leader has been, I mean, it's been tremendous for our business because now we can push for growth, but also not be a complete mess on the back end, you know? So, which, like I said, first few years, I had these big aspirations, like, oh, I'm going to get to $50 million. And it's like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I wanted to, you know? So it's like, that's what I'm trying to do. So it's like, sales increase, you know, we got some customer issues. So, but we just kept going until we could really kind of hone in on systems for, you know, the production side systems, sales systems. You can see visually on our growth chart where we implemented a call center, because once we started implementing these things, like, it was much easier to get to different levels. So
I want to break out two things from what you just were talking about. The first thing is you had that $11 million 2 years in a row. I think that there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, next year we're going to focus on tightening up our systems and increasing our profitability, even if we only do the same level of business. Now, when you did $11 million the first year, was there a profit issue there, or were you still very profitable?
$11 million.
The first one.
I want to say we were probably close to about 8 to 9% profitability. Okay. So not terrible. Yeah. I mean, not amazing, but
right.
So I wouldn't necessarily say it was a profitability issue. It was just operationally, we were just, everyone's running around crazy, trying to put out fires here, fires there. Just didn't have a whole lot of like structured leadership structure. I didn't even have a formal call center at that point. Just office people were answering the phone when people called in. So there's a lot that needed to be fixed, right? And, you know, some of that stuff's fine when you're smaller, but as you get bigger, now it's amplified tremendously.
Especially when you start to get up 10 million plus, it's a whole different animal.
It's a whole different animal. Point. So you know, it's at the point, it's like, well, I'd be scared to do more business at this pace. I mean, I might, you know.
The mistake that a lot of people make is they just keep pushing. They keep growing and they'll go 11 million. Then they'll go, okay, well, we've been growing 30%. So we should grow 30% next year and forget about profit. Forget if the wheels fall off. Forget if we don't have the right tight system. I just want to see 14 million next year. And that's not the way to do business. I don't know. I can't count how many people I've told don't even grow your business. If you have to scale it back a little bit, but tighten your systems up and make more money. You know, you want to make extra money. Don't put on extra revenue. It's so much easier to fix the bottom line than it is to add to the top line. Adding to the top line is hard work, but fixing profitability is actually much simpler than that. The other thing that you said in there was that you started seeking out help from other people. Obviously, I'm a huge, you know, believer in that. That's what we're doing here. I was just talking, you know, I was just talking with Brian Gottlieb, and we were talking about that, how back in, you know, 15 years ago, we didn't have all of these. We didn't have podcasts. We didn't have all this stuff on YouTube. The playbooks weren't out there. You would have to, you know, you would go and either hire a consultant for a crazy amount of money every month, or you would maybe go to an industry event, or you would run into somebody somewhere and say, hey, can you help me? But a lot of people today, it's like, wow, there's so much information out there. There's almost no excuse not to be profitable, except for, and this is going to be my point here, is you had to learn how to be a leader. So you started as installer, you went to salesperson, then you went to business owner, then you went to business owner doing everything. Then you started to transition out of that and start bringing people on. But then at some point, you started bringing in other leaders. So tell me a little bit about that journey for you.
$3.5 million. Revenue, second year in business. I was in a Facebook group. I made a comment, a Facebook post. Has anyone been successful running sweepstakes campaigns at like home shows and showing events? Because you go to a home show, it's like win $5,000 of doors or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone in the comments was like, stupidest idea ever.
Right.
Dumb,
right.
Junk leads, blah, blah, blah. That's dumb. And one guy commented and said, Chris, I built my business to $6 million in revenue off sweepstakes. Feel free to reach out. And I sent him a message for sales training. And it just completely changed my business. And since then, like I've really tried to connect with other people, go to industry events. Like he's the one that told me about Accelerate. He's like, you got to go to this event. I think it was the first one, I believe, or it could have been the second one.
What year was that? The first real one was 2017. Well, no, so, sorry, take that back. 2017 was like the test case. Like, can we actually pull this off? 18 was the first real one.
Yep.
And yeah, and then now we're going to, in February, we're doing our 10th, which is amazing. Okay. And you're going to be there. You're going to be on stage with a couple of other guys telling your story.
Excited about it for sure. So
yeah, it's going to be cool. How many have you been to?
I want to say I've been to all but 2 to 3.
Awesome.
Once I started having, you know, a bunch of kids at home, it's like, I don't want to leave the wife.
It gets harder.
Babies, right. You know? So
yeah,
that's kind of slowed it down a little bit, but yeah, I'm going to bring the family to to Florida in February.
It's a beautiful, the place is a beautiful.
It looks
every
like
room. Oh, and how old are your kids?
6, 2, and 9 months.
Okay. The 6-year-old is going to have a field day because not every room faces the ocean. Every single one.
Nice.
Okay. You can't get a bad room in this place, but this hotel has something that I haven't seen in any other hotels. I think they call it the pantry.
Okay.
And in the afternoon, you got to be careful because they put out these cookies, these chocolate chip cookies out in the pantry, which is on every floor. And they have like snacks and stuff there, but they put these cookies that are amazing. So your 6-year-old is going to have an absolute field day there.
I'm sure he'll love that.
But anyway, I digress. One of the big things that I believe is that in order for us to grow our business, for us to grow our wealth, for us to grow our ability to live life on our terms, we have to grow as a person. We have to grow as a leader. And so by going and being around these other people that are quote unquote more successful, that are richer, that have these bigger businesses, it kind of forces you to either retreat back and say, oh my God, I can't do this. Or what you did was, wait a minute, I see how they're doing it. Let me kind of do the same thing. So how did you grow as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, if they can do it, it can be done, you know. So it's like, there's no reason why we can't do it, you know, or I can't do it, or my company can't do it.
But that means you had to grow as a person. So what were some of the things that you did for yourself to grow into the leader of a $11 million business, a $15 million business, an 18, soon to be a $20+ million business?
Well, like I said, for me as an introvert, I mean, I got to get out of my comfort zone, number one. So it's like, you know, just trying to work on the culture of the company, you know, having a culture of winning, spend time with my team, like not only in the office, but outside of the office, hold people accountable to KPIs. But I think one of the biggest things is just being a motivator. You know, it's really easy to, with any job, just to go through the motions and come in, it's like, oh, you know, got to go to work today, or you don't really like what you do. So the same thing with the sales team. It's really easy to get down when you're getting no-showed on an appointment, or you have 3 or 4 customers in a row tell you to get lost. It's really easy to get down. So you got to be a motivator, number one, and get people excited to want to work for the company and want to be there. And, you know, kind of like this book behind me here, you know, Beyond the Hammer. We had a book study with all of our leaders. I bought a bunch for our leadership team. We studied the book. We had a good outing offsite where we discussed the book and found ways where we can implement some of the things in it in our company. So, but yeah, just I'm motivated by other people, like going to these events like Accelerate. When someone gets up on stage, like that just gets me fired up. Like that pushes me to get out of my comfort level and try to become a better leader.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. If we don't grow, the business isn't going to grow. It's just as simple as that. And a lot of people get stuck on this idea that, well, I have to get better at sales. I have to get better at this part of the, what you have to get good at is getting really crystal clear on what you want from your business. Then commit to getting it and then go make it happen. Become the person it requires extreme discipline. It requires mental toughness because naturally you're going to want to get pulled back. You know, I tell people, you know, one of my best success strategies, and very few people will take me up on it, is take half a day a week outside of your business. Use that time to elevate yourself, to think, to grow. That's where you solve your big problems. That's where you go and you nourish yourself and you make yourself better. Because again, the business won't grow if you don't get better. But so few people do that because they're just running around reacting to everybody else's emergencies and agendas. And it doesn't move the needle in the business. The only thing that'll move the needle in the business is you getting out of the business.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of getting out of the business, you know, one of the, you don't want to be doing everything and hands in all kinds of little fires or micromanaging. You know, one thing that, you know, and my goals have shifted over the last decade, like, you know, there might be 3-4 year span where it's like, oh, I want to be $100 million company. Maybe some years I don't. Like, it's like, yeah. Hey, I'm in a pretty good spot now. So one thing, you know, when I started having kids, like, I don't want to be working 60, 70 hours a week like I was. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I moved to a 3-day work week where it's like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to work 3 days a week. But really what that did is help me make my business even better. Cause now I really mm-hmm. got to have systems and I got to have leadership in place that where the business can operate without me. And it's like for the last 2 years, like I was on a 1-day work week. Like I just came in 1 day and yep. I started having little kids. I want to spend time with my family, you know, and it's like, I wanted to maximize that, but that forced me to get a better business. Because like I said, I'm not there to do the day to day. Now some of my kids are starting school. So it's like, well, I don't want to just sit at home all day. So now I'm back in the office several days a week. We're going to push to try to get to that next level and increase profitability. So
here's the thing though. You built a business that serves your life. Everybody listening, make no mistake, that is the only reason your business exists, is to serve your life. And if you don't feel that way, you should not be in business for yourself. It's not about sacrifice. It's about building a business that works for you. And this is a great example of that, where I decided I have kids, I want to spend more time with my kids. Great. The business should never get in the way of that. And so what do you have to do to create a business that doesn't rely on you? This is, by the way, I'm releasing a new book soon, and it's all about this. It's all about this. It's all about helping people understand what the business's real purpose is. And it's exactly what you're saying. And I love that you said, okay, I went to a 1-day week, but now that my kids are older, now it's like, well, wait a minute. I want to go back to work. Great. You don't have to go back to work. You're doing it because you choose to do it. And that's the way to build a business. That's what the business exists for. And I love hearing these stories, and forgive me because it's fresh. You know, I've been working. I had a mad dash. Like, I don't know why I started this book 3 years ago. I got super inspired last week after, we were in Vegas for top 500. I don't know what happened. Something tripped inside of me and I just went to work for like 4 or 5 days straight. And I'm super excited about it because it's exactly what you just described. Hopefully I did a good job with it. We'll see. We'll see if anybody even sees it. It's got to go through wealthy contractors first. You know, my crew of wealthy contractors, they got to give me the sanity check and tell me, yeah, this is Brian. Yeah, you could release this. And no, you can't release this. Like, that's what I did with the Seven Secrets book. I was shocked. You know who gave me one of the best reviews of the book ever? Do you know Harley Magden? Used to be with Window Nation.
Yep, sure do.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally, but
know him. That guy, one of the smartest operators I've ever seen, but tough guy to work with. Tough guy. Nice guy.
Love here.
Really, love like heart. At his core, he's a really nice guy, but a tough businessman. And I sent one to him just to see what he would say. I thought he would say, oh, Brian, this is full of shit, blah, 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 blah. But no, it was like he gave me this thing. So I got to run it through them, that filter first before any of you guys see it. But I'm pretty excited about. But again, this is just making my point, is if you're not building a business that doesn't rely on you, you don't have a business. You just got a really horrible job.
And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't develop leadership.
Of course.
And, you know, none of our leaders have come from the industry. Like it was, I've tried to hire the unicorn.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I want this unicorn. And it's never worked out for me. So, you know, one of my best leaders, my operation manager, she worked in her family restaurant, and that was her only job, you know, so brought her in as a rehash person. She crushed it. She moved to call center manager when we built a call center, and now she essentially runs the company. And young girl, you know, and it's like, but she really, she's empowered to make decisions for the company. And, super blessed to have her in the company for sure. So,
you know, it's interesting. I was talking with Kyle. We did a podcast episode today also. And Kyle got drafted by the Houston Astros to play baseball. And he had an injury, so he couldn't. But what we talked about, what I have found as really interesting is that people that have played competitive sports make good employees because they want to win, but you got to give them the right environment to win. The other people that I've seen that have really done that really do well is people whose parents were entrepreneurs. So like that doesn't surprise me that your operations manager comes from a family business because she knows what it, and the restaurant business, we think the home improvement business is bad or hard. Oh, that's a horrible business. But she saw how her parents worked and worked. And I mean, you want work ethic, you go work in a restaurant. If you last in a restaurant, you could do anything.
I've never worked in a restaurant, so I've always done home improvement stuff. So I installed siding, gutters.
Well, it's pretty damn close. Lots of moving parts.
Yep.
Lots of moving parts. Well, Chris, I appreciate you being here and sharing. You have a great story. We're going to learn a lot more about how you did all of this, how you made these big jumps in the business, how you have the 14-person call center, what it took to build that. So we'll talk about these things at Accelerate in February. I was going to ask you, I mean, what would you tell somebody that's maybe not been to Accelerate before? They've heard me talk about it a lot, but, you know, I have a biased opinion. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of value of the people up on stage. Saying what they've done that has worked for them or how they became successful, some tips you can pick up. But really a lot of the value that I get out of Accelerate is outside of the actual event, like the networking. I've made some great connections, people that we can bounce off ideas and ask advice from the entire year, not just, during a 2 or 3 day event. So the networking is super, super powerful. And it's unlike other industry events where, it might be people on stage just kind of pitching their service. I mean, they'll be up there speaking but it's kind of a backdoor pitch, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Accelerate's generally people from leaders in our industry that are actually operating and running businesses. So there's no pitch at the end. Like they're really trying to give value and feedback. And the speakers are at the networking events and the lunches, and
they're very accessible.
Connect. Yeah. So yeah,
they're very accessible.
So yeah, I mean, like I said, Accelerate's been great for me. Not only the knowledge and the workbook that comes along with it is the networking and a big room of everyone trying to do the same thing. And that's to make their business more profitable.
Great. Thank you. All right. So if you're interested, if you have not reserved your seat yet, do so because before we sell out, we are excited about this. This is our 10th annual event. If you go to accelerateevent.com, there'll be a link in the notes. If you go to accelerateevent.com, that's where you go secure your seat to get a little extra off. If you would like a little extra discount, use the code podcast26. Podcast 26, and that'll get you a little extra discount on your ticket. But be there. It's absolutely guaranteed to be profitable for you. And that's all I got to say about that. Chris, again, thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you in February. And to everybody listening, until next time, I'm Brian Cascavalosian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See y'all at Accelerate. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.